So Paul wrote the letter to the Ephesian church. And you heard last week from Craig Johnson, right? What do you remember? Craig.
Three P's.
Three P's. Position. Power. Position, practice, and what? This is brutal. Position, practice, and purpose. So this week, he's talking about position still. Paul is. And he's talking about our position being made one. Being made one in this hope, in this peace, in this thing that Jesus came to do. And it's kind of an intriguing concept because it's one thing to say we've been made one with Jesus, right? Jesus came and set things right with us and God through sacrifice, through showing us how to live, through death on the cross where he gave up his life for us, and for him coming back 3 days later and conquering death, that we don't have to live in the way in which we once lived, right? So we know we get that oneness with Jesus, right? But do we understand being made one with each other? Oh, he's going to talk about community again. He's going to talk about the reason we shake hands on a Sunday again. But that's what happened. Jesus took this system and he turned it on its ear, this system of law, this system of this old way of doing things in the Jewish culture. And he takes this entire system and he turns it around, and all of a sudden this thing that was primarily for the Jews, that the Jews thought anyway, even though in reality this system, this Jesus life had been available to anybody and everyone since the beginning of time, this life with God. It was never void to anybody else. But the Jews thought it only came through the way in which the Jews lived, right? Through these laws that they had to follow, through how they had to do things. And then all of a sudden, Jesus hits the scene, and with what he did on the cross, with what he did for you and I, it turns this entire system around and throws the floodgates open and just says, look, there's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, in this kingdom. It's open to everybody. So all are welcome. Pretty cool, isn't it? Jesus is a pretty cool guy. I'm excited by this story because, can we read it? Can we read it? We're in Ephesians 2, and we're in chapters 11 through 22. And if you don't have a Bible, you can download one on your phone. If you need Wi-Fi access, this is the Griffin Theater. And if you need the Wi-Fi password, it's Winston, W-I-N-S-T-O-N, 710. And that'll get you access. You can download that app. Or there's Bibles out on the table there. But let's just read this together. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation right now. And it says this. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. Paul's addressing this group in Ephesus that are Gentiles and Jews. And if we remember our history, a Gentile was just anybody that wasn't a Jew, right? Anybody outside of Jewish culture. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews. If I had a dime for every time somebody called me an uncircumcised heathen. That's never happened. But I find that funny. But he's addressing this people that this actually happened. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision even though it only affected their bodies and not their hearts. And if we remember, this circumcision is what set Jews apart from anybody else, this covenant that God had with them. You want to be serious about me, you got to go be circumcised. And that seems like a weird covenant to make with people, doesn't it? But nonetheless, that's what happened. But these Jews who took this ceremony and this practice of circumcision never let it sink into their hearts. It was purely this physical thing. by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. Can I stop there? Is that good news for anybody today? Maybe some of you are in that story currently where you are far from Christ. Right now. I don't want to miss that. Maybe right now you are far from Christ. Maybe right now you have been drugged here by your spouse or your family or your friend or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or whatever the situation may be, and you are just putting your time in right now. And you could care less what is said from the stage. You could care less what is sung from the stage. You could care less about the mission and the gospel of Jesus. Maybe that's you. I'm glad you're here. There's no other place I'd rather you be than here right now. Because you're going to get loved, whether you like it or not. Okay? Let's keep going. Let's keep going. That you, us that were far, and man, and the other people that share this story too, those that were far and then brought in, you guys are here too. Amen? For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in His own body on the cross He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of His death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. What does that mean to you, church? He takes these two groups of people, these people that had this relationship with God, most of them only by practice only, not by heart. It didn't infect their heart. It only affected the outside of what they did, the practices, but it didn't really sink into the heart. And then you have these Gentiles who practiced all this pagan worship, who did everything that wasn't, you know, within God's way of doing things. And Jesus, through Himself, breaks this barrier down. He opens up this new way of existing with God, with death being taken completely off the table, with the fear of sin and death being completely eradicated by what He did on the cross. What does that mean to you? Don't be shy. Nothing? I'll give you a second. Gives you the ability to talk to other people about that which has changed your life forever. What kind of people need that news? Everybody. Anybody else? What does this mean to you? Churchy people in the room, what does this mean to you? This isn't the end. Nobody that's better or worse than you are. What this does is this takes away racial barriers, right? Takes away all barriers. Levels the playing field. We say that a lot around here. So what does that mean together as a body, as Whitewater, together as a group of individuals that gathers on a Sunday morning and throughout the week? What does that mean for us and how we love people? What's that? We are unstoppable. What is the real world things that creep up in your heart, though, when you start talking this way, when you start acting these things out, when it's hard to what's that?
Terror.
Yeah. Do some of our preferences get kind of put on the back burner? You know what? I'm not down with homosexuality. So those people don't need to hear about Jesus from me. Is that anybody? We're pushing a little bit on the... pushing some buttons, maybe? You know what? Foreign people scare me. Joe Cook scares me. That's a joke. People that I can't really understand, you know, their language, their dialect, even though they're speaking English sometimes, I can't understand it, so I'm just going to distance myself from those people because they're tough for me, right? Somebody else will deal with them. God's a big God. He'll send somebody else their way, right? How about the check stand person? How about the person ringing up your Big Mac? How about people that physically appear, that have a physical appearance that may look threatening to you, so you kind of cross the other side of the street, right? When in reality, Paul is celebrating in this scripture, in this passage, in this portion of Ephesians, look, this is the beautiful thing that Jesus did for you. This is the beauty of what God did for you. This is what Jesus did for you. He eradicated all of these things so that you can live in peace and keep that peace to yourself and not share it with anybody else. That last part was my own thing, in case you couldn't tell. So you can keep this peace all to yourself and not and divvy it out as you see fit. Divvy it out as you feel comfortable. Give it out in small portions to family that might deserve it or not deserve it. Give it out to people that only stroke your ego well. That peace is only available in those situations, but not every situation that you're in. What's interesting is within the church, I played the church game a long time because I'm a third-generation pastor. I played the church game in a long time, and it was unsafe to have anybody that didn't know Jesus be your friend. So all you had was Jesus friends that didn't really live like it. Right? And then you had this little group of Jesus people that talked a good game about, oh, I'd totally evangelize that person. Right? It sounds stupid when you say it out loud. Oh, I'd totally talk to that person about Jesus, but I'm not gonna. I could totally evangelize that person if I wanted to. But you don't. You don't live it out. I know this because I was that guy that didn't live it out. Okay, when I say you, I mean me. I did not live that out. I lived this life of those people are unsafe. People of other churches and even denominations are unsafe. Because I might catch some of their doctrine and it might ruin me, taint me, destroy the things that these other people were teaching into me. You catching it? Is this kind of making sense to you? Then Paul is refuting this, saying, look, Jesus came and made this peace, made this thing available to everybody. There's no Gentile nor Jew now. It is everybody. We're on the same playing field. We're on the same team. We're all taking our cues from Jesus. We're looking to Jesus first. So there's nothing to be scared of. You guys have been made one together. New Christians are awesome. You know what I mean when I say new Christians? There's like no hindrance in them. They're all about Jesus. right? They're all about going and telling all their friends about Jesus, telling all their family about Jesus. And what happens usually is they end up getting burned. And their friends and family are like, whoa, freak. And then they get burned, and then they kind of shrink back and recluse. And then whatever that passion within them was is kind of tamed, which is a real shame. Because they're wanting everybody to experience the same joy, the same passion, the same everything that they had just received through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And they point to God. Now granted, some of them don't fully understand what they're talking about. But they know what happened within them is real, and they want to share that. And they want to share it with everybody, and that's what is the most beautiful thing. And Paul says, this is available to anybody, to everybody, because I have essentially just destroyed any barrier, all barriers, that would prevent you from living life with these people, from loving these people, from being a part of these people's worlds. I have a neighbor. I have several neighbors. I live in a neighborhood. And our neighbor went and was hospitalized and is being taken care of by his daughter. And his daughter has been over at the house. He's my next door neighbor. And I saw them, and I don't really know the situation, but I just offered if there was anything they needed, any kind of help they needed, to let us know. And I don't know anything about this daughter. I found out later that I think she had some Wiccan practices that she was practicing early on in her world. I don't know if that's still a thing with her or not. But you know what? That didn't matter because what I saw was a person that needed love. And I saw a neighbor that needed love. And so I call on the rest of our neighborhood and I said, hey, can you help? And some of our neighbors did come out and help. And what we found out once we got into this house was this house is in disrepair from animals. Like, this person is living in squalor. This person is living in conditions less than. This person cares more about their car than they do their own life and how they're living inside their home. The gospel, this peace, is no less real for them. And what it takes sometimes is us going and being willing and saying, I'm going to get involved in your world. Doesn't matter who you are. I'm going to get involved in your world. I'm going to get involved as much as you'll allow me to be involved and love you in very practical ways of cleaning up feces off your floor that's been there for 10 years. Man, that's a tough thing. That's a gross thing. That's a disgusting thing. That's a thing that no one ever wants to be in that situation, right? It's not even my family. It's not even people that I know or I'm close to, but it's a neighbor that needs love. And so there's no barrier like that. You understand? There's no barrier, whether it's this messy, physically messy world, spiritually messy, the mess of the soul, that should keep us out because Jesus made this beautiful system and made us all one. And it's our job to share this peace, this joy. Let me keep going. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. He made a new humanity, which is just beautiful. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. We have no right to be hostile towards one another. He brought this good news of peace to you, Gentiles, who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. It's all because of Jesus. It has nothing to do with anything that we've done. We take our cues from Jesus. So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. This is a beautiful thing. This is an exciting thing. What I love is that Paul talks about this being a process. You are becoming a holy temple. Some of us get angry when we say yes to Jesus get baptized and we just expect our life to just click, right? We just expect our life to click into the spirituality that's just super deep, we just understand how to live like Jesus, how to be men and women of peace and joy. And when that doesn't come right away, we get angry, we get agitated, we get upset because something obviously is broken or wrong, right? And it's not like going to Walmart and buying peace and joy. Okay? And so we get upset, we think something's wrong, we think the spirit somehow that we received is defective, which couldn't be further from the truth. It's that we are becoming this beautiful thing, this temple, this being in which God has called us to be. So don't be discouraged, folks. Don't be upset. Don't be upset when things don't go your way or when things don't click as you hope they would. God is refining that in you. God is working on those things. I say that because He's doing it in me. And I've been with Jesus since I've been 11 years old. And there's a lot of time that I feel like I've wasted. My wife and I were talking about it in the car. And when I say wasted time, I mean I wish I would have understood Jesus better then. Because where would I be today? But that's not my story. God allowed me to do what I wanted to do for a long time. And that gives me a testimony that's unique. That gives me a testimony that is able to get up on stage and speak in ways that only I can. And He's given you the same testimony. He's given you the same experiences. The experiences are different, but man, you all have a story to tell within Jesus when He changes your world, when He rocks your world. We are becoming this temple. We are becoming this thing, this being of peace. And there's no barrier whatsoever with us in the outside world, with us and anybody else that we come in contact with, that we shouldn't be speaking about Jesus to, that we shouldn't be loving as Jesus called us to love, that we shouldn't be trying in some way to look at this person and say, how can I bring peace to your world right now with the few moments that I have with you? There's no barrier there. William Hendrickson had this quote in his beautiful, in his commentary. It's not beautiful. It's laborious and long and a lot of words, okay? There's nothing beautiful about it. Educational. In his educational commentary, he says this, "The basic lesson holds for all time. The reason why there is so much strife in this world between individuals, families, social or political groups, whether small or large, is that the contending parties, through the fault of either or both, have not found each other at the foot of the cross." Man. They've not found each other at the foot of the cross. They've not found each other all looking to Jesus. They're all looking at their own ways of living and doing things, and therefore they're missing each other. They're missing it. They're missing this beauty and this life that God has for them. Only then, when sinners, us, level playing field, have been reconciled to God through the cross, will they be truly reconciled to each other. This shows how very important it is to preach the gospel to all men and women and to beseech them on behalf of Christ to be reconciled with God. For the world torn by unrest and friction, the gospel is the only answer. What you need to understand today is that if you know Jesus today, you are a member of a new household. You understand that? You are a member of a new way of living life. You are a member of a new way of operating, of doing life. A lot of us don't understand that, and a lot of us become very restless in that because we have this life that we claim we do, this Jesus thing, and then we have the life that we're choosing to live, and They don't mesh. They don't mix, because we're not allowing Jesus to infect this other stuff, the stuff that we're unwilling to give up. And so when life comes in conflict, almost every time when I'm counseling with people, it's because they refuse to look at Jesus. It's because they refuse to look, Jesus, what do you have to say about this? They refuse to ask the question, or we ask the question and refuse to carry through with what he says. How many have done that? Bold move, raising your hands. Yeah. God, that sounds good. I'm not going to play that game. No. I'm going to go over to this brick wall and beat my head against it. And I'm going to see if my situation changes. Yeah. You guys know that game, right? Brick wall fans. If you do it on sheetrock, you just bust holes. It's stupid. Okay? It's got to be a brick wall. And we're not looking at Jesus, but we are a part of this new household. We are a part of this new system. Jesus tore this barrier down. Jesus is the only way to peace. Jesus is the only way to do these things. And all of this is available to you right now for the low, low price of obedience. That's a big word, isn't it? A scary word. I met Jesus at 11 years old, and I didn't really become obedient to him until I was 28 years old. And there was this huge span of very selfish living. There's still selfish living now, but it is not like it was from 11 to 28. And then Jesus shook me up, and it got to the point where I had tired of the brick wall. I had tired of beating my head, of doing my own way that wasn't getting me anywhere, just giving me a splitting headache. I said, God, I can't do this any longer. And he said, you're absolutely right, Adam. I've just been waiting for you to actually say that. So maybe some of you were at that point today. God, I can't do this any longer. I need something different. I need change in my world. And I'm here to tell you that God is the only change that's going to affect your situation today. This new way of life that God brought through Jesus' life, through Jesus' death, through Jesus' resurrection, through Jesus' blood, is the only thing that's going to change your situation. Is the only thing that's going to give you hope by us being made one with him, by us being made one with each other and living life together, figuring out this life that Jesus has called us to live. You're not alone in this. Never make that mistake. You're never alone in this. There's people that have gone before you and people that are going to come after you, and our responsibility is to do it together. As fierce as possible, with no reservation, with no fear, but with hope and peace. So if you're a person here this morning that is looking for that hope and you're looking for that peace, ask God for it. Ask him right now. If you're a person that's lived with Jesus a long time and somehow you've just been void of the hope and the peace that this oneness has brought and is available to you, and you don't know how to move forward, let's look to Jesus. Let's ask him for it. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of Paul. Thank you for this incredible system, God, that Jesus brought about. Through his obedience, through his life here on earth, through his death here on earth, through his resurrection here. God, forgive us when we've been timid and when we've played it safe when it comes to people. And speaking about this good news, speaking about this oneness that we have with you and with others. Father, forgive us when we've done a terrible job of understanding this oneness and we've lived it out in really terrible, harmful, hurtful ways. In this community, in the community of Laramie, God, in our family lives, when we've lived out something other than being made one. God, forgive us for that. God, for those that are hopeless and without peace right now, I pray that they are bold enough and risky enough to speak with you right now. Father, I pray that they're bold enough and risky enough to speak with you right now. God, prepare their hearts for what you're going to say. Prepare their hearts for what you are saying, for what you have been saying. God, prepare their hearts for the obedience that needs to follow as you call them into things, as you call them out of things. As you take them away from this brick wall and you show them where you are. God, give them courage to run to that. Father, for those that are far away from you right now and are here, I trust your words to sink into their hearts. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but somewhere along the lines, God, if you've been calling these people, I pray that they respond. I say, if, God, you have been calling these people, I pray for their response. To say yes to you, to say yes to this oneness that you've created, to say yes to this oneness that you've created with us and the world through your Son, Jesus. God, may we all look to you. May we all take our cues from you, and may we all meet at the foot of the cross for anything in our worlds. God, thank you for making us one. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.